everyone. Welcome back into a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. It's all family on today's show. We are so excited about the two artists joining us once again with a fantastic new work that I can tell you right at the gate we will be at. I cannot wait to see the show. The title alone is going to make you want to come out to see the show. Joining us today, we have the amazing playwright Courtney Taylor and the fantastic director Abby Davis, who are here to talk to us about the Taylor Swift Unabomber play. It's part of Limefest, and their production is playing August 12th and 20th at 9:30 p.m. All of this happening at The Tank, which is also where you can get your tickets and more information by visiting thetanknyc.org. We are so excited to learn more about this. I don't want to waste any more time. So Courtney, Abby, welcome back into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Yes, we're so pumped to be here.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited you're here. And what a show you are bringing us. I feel like every time we have you two back on, like the bar just keeps getting raised. I'm like, yes. And oh, yes. The Taylor Swift Unabomber play. Let's go. I'm excited. Courtney, let's start with you and have you tell us a bit about what the show is about.
Absolutely. So our full title name is Revelations from the First and Last Ever Rehearsal of They Say I Did Something Bad, an unauthorized Taylor Swift parody musical about the life of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, presented by the Bridgebrook College Drama Club. It is a 70-minute dramedy about college theater makers, true crime, rape culture, and then also in this array of things is also like queer romance, a fabulous character, eco-terrorist Taylor, some musical performances, and just a lot of really fun, but also like raw and like tender explorations of sexual violence in schools and storytelling, and just kind of, you know, how do we move through this world with so many systems of violence and power upon us?
I don't even know where to begin. The title alone, the fact that that's the full title, I'm like, yes, all let's go. Let's just throw everything at the wall and let's just go. This is fantastic. I love the premise for the show. So I have to ask, Courtney, what is the inspiration behind this piece?
So at the end of college, me and my friends were obsessed with the show Manhunt, The Search for the Unabomber. So that is just so like embedded in my brain. And one day I was listening to the song, If This Was a Movie by Taylor Swift, and it just like jumped into my head the moment from the show where, you know, the Unabomber's brother is debating turning him into the FBI. And from there, it was like, oh, this could be an interesting play idea. It also just kind of crashed together with some other ideas about like college theater makers and like weird theater and like the weirdness of making theater with friends and people you have crushes on and all these different like elements. And so it all kind of like collaged together in an exciting way. And, you know, sharing the script with Abby and like going through different developmental stages has made it even more like chaotic, but also like, you know, exploring things and deepen everything. So weird beginning to a weird play.
I love this so much. I love it. Abby, I have to ask, you know, she mentioned that she passed the script on to you. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you came up on the piece?
Yeah, so my first introduction to the piece was sometime this past spring when we were preparing for a reading of the entirety of the piece at the Makers Ensemble, which is a company that we've done a couple of readings with before. They're wonderful. And they gave us time and space to be able to, you know, assemble a team. And it was a pretty quick rehearsal process, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, I mean, that was my first introduction to the piece. Same with every other piece of Courtney's that I read for the first time. I am just like flabbergasted, positive, like connotation. Like I think I've talked about this in the past, but if you just kind of going back to like when I read, you know, some of the pieces that we've worked on in the past, The Guy Who Killed Bigfoot and No Entrance for the first time, I just like knew that there was something really special about Courtney and her work. And so this was, you know, no exception. I'm really, really honored to be working on this again in a deeper capacity this time, just because we have a little bit, some more resources and a really cool platform to get to do it with. So yeah, it's been a couple of months now that I say a couple of months, it's been like 6 months since we've been like working on this piece from start to now as a full team. And I'm just excited to see where we go from here.
That is so, so wonderful. I love it. So as we prepare for the show to open at Limefest, which is just, I mean, Lord, almost 2 weeks away, what has it been like developing it and getting it up on its feet?
Yeah, I mean, so out of all transparency, at the time of us speaking right now, we're just about to go into rehearsals again. It's going to be another quick process. But I think that's kind of just a testament to, you know, we've already laid such a really strong foundation, and our entire cast, it just, you know, they're actors that we've worked with before, and they have such a strong understanding of not only their characters, but, you know, it's some of the nuances of the text that, you know, normally you'd have to work with actors on for some time. And so that was kind of another piece of like us reading this together for the first time in the spring while we were just preparing for one, you know, kind of one-off reading. It was really an exciting opportunity to see, you know, if we were to develop this further, like what would it, you know, be like, what would it sound like? So we're, you know, we're hunkering down over the next couple of weeks before we open. And at this, it's funny kind of having, you know, as a director, having to split, you know, your attention between rehearsal time and also like the production side of things. So entering both of those processes at the same time is like always a little chaotic, but I'm really excited for it. And I cannot believe it's only in a couple of weeks.
Yes. And we had a little bit of like a summer engagement with it with our friends at Paper Crane Productions. We shared a like 15-minute excerpt of the play at their Do You Queer What I Queer event. So it was fun to get a little rehearsal in, get back in the piece a little bit as like a gear up to this next round.
I love that. That is amazing. By the way, I love the name of that festival. That I want to know more about it. Next year when that happens, I need to go see that because that is a brilliant name. Now, Courtney, let me ask you, with this piece that you've written, this fabulous piece, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from it?
Yeah, so one of the big questions of the play that the characters are grappling with in their Taylor Swift Unabomber show they're trying to put together is, what do we do about sexual violence in academia, and how do we represent experiences that feel so illegible, that feel like, you know, these insidious things that kind of spread out, you know, across, say, like a grooming process, that are hard to just say, okay, now we're going to dramatize something and, you know, show something that shows all the complexity of it and how difficult that is. The other kind of side of it that I hope audiences take away is through this crazy journey we go on in the play. So in addition to the College Theater Makers and the romance between Riley and Cheyenne, the College Theater Makers doing the show, we also get into this kind of surreal world with the arrival of the Unabomber and eco-terrorist Taylor. And through all of these different ways of exploring, you know, responses to systemic sexual violence, the takeaway I hope people, you know, come away with is just thinking about how tenderness and connection and solidarity can be really important tools in terms of supporting survivors in your life, in terms of being empowered as a survivor, and in terms of trying to imagine new ways of confronting and dismantling systemic violence.
That's wonderful. Abby, anything you'd like to add to that?
Courtney Taylor is a genius, and so well said, as always. Something that I think we... just kind of going to the tenderness piece that Courtney mentioned, I feel like that's such a theme in our work together, like not only like textually, but, you know, other themes, you know, themes that we've found in the material that we're working on, but then also just like how we approach each other as collaborators, how we approach our other collaborators, and also just like that being like the basis of friendship and relationship. So it's just really lovely to get to work on a piece that really values that at its core.
That is so wonderful. And it leads to my final question for the first part, which I'm going to ask both of you. And that, of course, is, who are you hoping have access to this work? Abby, I'd like to kick that off with you if I could.
Yeah, this is, I am never, ever prepared, like truly, to answer this question whenever I'm on Stage Whisper, which is funny because I should expect it. I think my general answer to any of the work that, you know, I've talked about in the past couple of months on Stage Whisper is just, you know, we we as indie theater makers are, it's important to us to be able to connect with other, you know, other collaborators at this level, just because that is how we are, that's how we do more work in the future. That's how we nurture the projects that we're putting up right now. And that's how we sort of propel their development. So being able to welcome other indie artists into this space is a really cool, you know, tool for connection and community, specifically in New York, where it's hard to do this thing. So that, you know, on the most sort of like general level. But I just, what I love so much about this piece is that it's so niche in many different facets. And like, obviously, just like kind of talking about the full title itself, like there's a mention of Taylor Swift, there's a mention of the Unabomber, there's a mention of like a college like drama program. So it's like, we've got the theater kids, we've got the Swifties, we've got the dare I say, like anti-billionaires as well, because that is what this piece is about. So I'm sorry, Swifties, in advance. And also people, you know, I'm not going to say like a Unabomber, but like true crime heads. So there's just truly something for everyone. And it's funny as hell. It's a great comedy that's also super like touching and moving. So I don't know if you like any of those things, come out.
I love that. That's a great demographic to be reaching. Yes. Courtney, what about you? Anything you'd like to add to that?
I mean, as ever, I'm so obsessed with everything Abby says. That is exactly the vibe for the show. There's a lot of fun stuff for theater kids, since it starts as a show about theater kids, a lot of like riffs on like movie musicals and Fosse Verdon and like popular shows and whatever. But yeah, I think there is something for everyone. And something that I've really appreciated in the two times we've worked on this and the two times we presented it so far has been the amount of people who, you know, working on the show or seeing the show have said, like, you know, there were so many stories like this at my high school, like misconduct from teachers or, you know, teachers grooming students and, you know, everyone kind of having a story within this realm. So there's like this niche element. And then there's also this element of how, you know, universal the pain and struggle part of the play is. But then, as Abby said, like moments for the Swifties, moments for the true crime head, niche and universal, I think.
Second part of our shows is we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And of course, we've had you both on our show before. So I want to change the questions up a little bit. And Courtney, I want to start with you. And I'd love to know, how did you come into the performing arts?
So I have always been doing theater throughout like school and everything. I was a bird in Cinderella. In first grade. I was originally assigned to be a mouse, but I'm very afraid of mice, so I asked to be a bird. I just have loved theater since then. And then, you know, doing it all through school and in college, I became really focused on playwriting after I had written a play about like guys looking for UFOs. And then I was like, oh my God, I love doing this. And so that was kind of the way that, you know, kept me going into it and going into it more seriously, I guess.
I love that. What a way to get into the theater. Abby, I want to ask you, you know, like I said, we've had you two on our show several times before. What changes would you like to see be made in the theater, either now or in the near future?
That's a very good question. I think there are different changes that are necessary at different levels of theater making. So it's hard to sort of give a catch-all answer to this question. But at least I can speak to sort of, you know, indie theater making at kind of where we're at right now. And we're kind of bridging the gap between, you know, like, obviously, like there's a self-producing element in all of this when we're working with like organizations, but we're now kind of at our point in collaborating with one another that, you know, working with an organization like the Tank, like they have the resources to be able to give this sort of, you know, platform, such as like rehearsal space and also just like big theater spaces, bigger theater spaces than, you know, I'm sure a lot of their indie artists that come through their doors have, you know, worked in before. And so it's, you know, organizations like the Tank that make access to those really important resources, you know, just more accessible, is just a game changer. And so it's, you know, it's seeing more organizations like that pop up and flourish. And I honestly, I can't, out of full transparency, I don't really know much about the history of the Tank, but I'm very curious to kind of like read about, you know, how it came to be, and you know, how they're able to offer those kinds of resources to artists, because I think it's really important work that they're doing. So, I mean, that kind of speaks to like just the accessibility of different, you know, arts organizations around New York specifically. But a lot of, you know, a lot of their practices come from independent theater making that is, you know, is already happening on shoestring budgets. And like there, I could just like rattle off a list of like the amount of, you know, the number of like theater companies that I know, or just like collectives that I know that, you know, may have access to affordable space that they will rent out to independent artists. And just like, there's I'm going to give a shout out to Good Apples Collective. They rock. They have a big spreadsheet of just affordable space for anybody to look at. It's, so it's like the opposite of gatekeeping that information. It's sharing it widely. And so it's, I guess my point is, I have had such a good experience working with other sort of community focused and oriented independent theater groups and artists who offer that information and those resources with, you know, with no ulterior motive. It's just for the sake of uplifting peers and potential collaborators. And it just kind of, I think what it all points to is just like the biggest change that I would like to see is more of a focus on community building, because that's how we're going to be able to, you know, accomplish the bigger changes that need to happen at institutional and systemic levels. It all kind of starts with individuals coming together. So if we can do that at a smaller level and then kind of, you know, go from there, I think that would be a really important grassroots effort, if you will.
I love that, though. That's a great, great answer. Now I want to ask the two of you, of course, my favorite question to ask guests. I always get to hear such great memories from the two of you. And so, of course, I'd love to know, what is another of your favorite theater memories?
Yeah, I was thinking about it after I saw this question. And one that's recent but made such an impact was while we were working on No Entrance in March as part of the Neurodivergent New Play series. There was the day where it was like the first time I was in person with Abby and the cast at Bechdel Project rehearsing. And I was watching, you know, these scenes that I've worked on my computer alone for 5, 6 years happening in real life and then happening under the direction, you know, of Abby, who is such a visionary and also so kind and makes it such a warm rehearsal space where people feel like they can be honest and feel like they can experiment and take bold swings. And so sitting there in the Bechdel studio watching some of these scenes, especially like there's a big chaotic dream sequence in No Entrance, and just watching Abby direct that, I was so like amazed that so much of being a playwright is you're alone writing. So for it to be this thing in person, in community with others, you know, 3D live coming to life was just extraordinary. One of my favorite moments as a playwright so far.
That's amazing. I love hearing stories like that. So thank you for that. Abby, how about you?
Oh my God. Ah, thank you so much. You're so sweet. I feel like I talked about No Entrance my like second, I don't know how many times I've been on, but it was towards the beginning. And I don't know that I talked about that specific rehearsal, but now that I'm thinking about it, I do want to kind of elaborate on just like what that experience was like, because it was just a special moment for everyone. It was just like, I don't know that I had the context at the time that Courtney had been working on that piece for as long as she had. I think I may have learned that like kind of later on in the process, actually. And it just really sort of illuminated like how, like it's just a brilliant script. It has so much depth. And I think that we had a lot of material to work with in a really condensed rehearsal process, but that was one of few rehearsals that we were all together in the room together and, you know, in person. And it was kind of magical. Like I think I said something about this kind of recently about, you know, I'm not sure what it was, but I feel like recently I was talking about sort of like what is like the magic piece of theater, like what makes theater magical. And it to me is like discovery and like being able to like watch discovery happen in real time, and like an actor will do something a specific way and be like, oh wait, that felt right, that's cool. And then we all just kind of like look around the room and we're like, did everybody like feel that too? Did that feel right? And everyone's like, yeah. And you're like, okay, let's keep doing that then. That happened so many times in that specific rehearsal. And it was just a really cool reminder of how important this work is and how lucky we are to get to do it together. So yeah, that was just kind of reiterating that was a very cool experience for me as well.
That's a wonderful memory as well. You two never disappoint. These were fantastic. Thank you so much for those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions in the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I will say, as just kind of like a general to be announced, there will be more no entrance things in the future with support from the Bechdel Project, where I'm a Feminism is for Everybody fellow. They are so, so amazing. So more news on that. But I'm also so excited about another play at Linefest that Abby's directing. If you want the info on that.
I so do.
Oh, I actually have another plug while Abby is looking. This is so, so new, but I'm going to be doing my solo show, The Night the Bar Played a Polka Cover of I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen, as a pop-up show at Cannonball Fest at Philly Fringe on September 16th. On September 16th, I believe, and I am very, very excited about that. Truly, like, found out the other day. Peace and love.
Congrats. Oh my God. It is a wonderful piece. Go see it. Holy crap. Courtney is a force. I've found all of the information. I was afraid I was going to mess up the dates. Yes, I do have another piece that I'm directing as a part of Linefest at the Tank with the playwright Sarah Grustra, who is also a force. This piece is called The Third Hunger, or the Donner Party Play, which funnily, I think that's a word, I don't know, funny enough, is also opening the same night as Revelations at the Tank. However, the second performance does not take place on the second performance night of Revelations. So you can go see both if you feel compelled to do so, and you should. So The Third Hunger opens on August 12th at 9:30 p.m. and then has another 9:30 p.m. performance on August 16th.
That is fantastic. Well, finally, I want to ask, you know, if our listeners want more information about the Taylor Swift Unabomber play or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
So there is an Instagram page for the Taylor Swift Unabomber play. It's just at the Taylor Swift Unabomber play. You'll look it up. It'll pop up and there'll be a lot of fun content there. So definitely give it a follow. And then otherwise, I'm on Instagram 24/7, far too much, at Courtney C. Taylor _. So give me a follow. Always excited to connect with indie theater makers. Always online.
Love. As you should be. As you should be. I am also on Instagram 24/7. We'll start a group chat with you if you want to follow us both, and we'll send you memes. Courtney and I will. Find me on Instagram at the worst possibly spelled version of my name ever. It's Abby Devis, but it's spelled ABBEHDEE. VUHS. As always, I hope it will be in the podcast notes, but you can also just go to my website, which is abby-davis.com, and drop me a line.
Wonderful. Well, Courtney and Abby, it's always a joy having the two of you here. I have so much fun. So thank you both so much for joining us today, for sharing this amazing work, and just being awesome. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Such a blast.
My guests today have been the incredible playwright Courtney Taylor and the amazing director Abby Davis, who join us to talk about their new show, the Taylor Swift Unabomber Play. It's part of Limefest, and their show is playing August 12th and 20th at 9:30 p.m. at The Tank. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting thetanknyc.org. We also will have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in the episode description, as well as on the social media posts. But run, don't walk. Get your tickets now, thetanknyc.org. Join us. We will be in attendance at this show. This is such a fun show. I can't wait to see it. Again, the show is the Taylor Swift Unabomber Play, happening August 12th and 20th at 9:30 p.m. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.